Welcome to the Understanding Our Times broadcast, with bold and insightful discussion of current events in the light of a Christian worldview. We count it a privilege to bring you a variety of guests with thought-provoking analysis and commentary on a weekly basis. And now for today's show, here's your host, Kevin Thompson.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Understanding Our Times Internet Radio Broadcast. We're glad you joined us for yet another week. This week, as some of you astute listeners will remember, we are actually broadcasting from the hills of eastern Kentucky, near Campton, Kentucky. We're on our mission trip to Frog County Christian School. And I thought this would be a great opportunity just to take a few minutes and talk about the impact of short-term missions trips. Are they worth the hassle? Are there better ways? What can we do to prepare? And those are some of the questions we'll be throwing at our guest. Our guest is Dave Hackler from Impact Missions. And Dave, welcome to our program.
Well, good afternoon, Kevin. It's great to be with you today, especially in eastern Kentucky. It's one of our favorite locations to bring mission teams. We've been serving here for about the last 14 years. We've had family groups, we've had college and university groups, and we're happy to have Rock Christian School from Beloit.
Well, first off, tell us about Impact Missions. What is it, what does it do, and how did you get involved?
I was a missionary with Youth for Christ for 25 years, and through our church, my wife and I were challenged to become part of a mission team to Quito, Ecuador. And as the first opportunity came by, I was the one in my family who said, we don't have enough money. What in the world could we do and make an impact? And aren't there many more better qualified people to go on a mission team to a country where the known language is Spanish? And my favorite and known language would be English. I spoke with my wife and I said, don't you think we ought to put this off for 5 years until we learn another language or look at another mission trip? Long and short of the story, we did wait 3 years before we went on our first family mission trip, but I am so disappointed with myself that we waited so long and that I was so resistant, because as a result of being a participant with a mission team from our church, joining another church from the state of Illinois, our whole faith was rocked to the core in terms of believing with an open heart, open eyes, and open ears to the power of God outside the United States.
We all believe in missions. Well, at least most of the people listening to this podcast will believe missions. We can go through all the verses, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and we support missionaries, we send them out. But we're talking about short-term missions trips. We're talking about spending a week in Ecuador or spending a week in eastern Kentucky. Can a short-term mission trip for that short period of time actually accomplish the mission of the Great Commission?
And I would say a resounding absolutely, Kevin. And the reason we say that falls in the realm of our mission statement, why we do short-term missions. And while we would call it a mission trip, we would say we just happen to be in eastern Kentucky this week, wanting to be used of God in ways that we don't ordinarily make ourselves available at home. And if I can get a group of students or an adult group or a family group 300 miles from home and away from the telephone, internet access is much more remote and difficult to get to here, and have them focus on meeting people and serving the needs of others in a place that is somewhat unfamiliar and away from home, And as we see God move in wonderful ways here, we say at the end of the mission week, what you have experienced away from home, we just beg you to put into practice now as you go home. So really, our short-term mission trips are all formulated around the basis of learn, discover, test, see it modeled, do what we can in a different culture among unfamiliar people, but take these principles of learning, leadership, faith, and God's power and apply them now as we go home. So our mission philosophy is we will help people while we're in their mission community. But our total focus then shifts and says where God has us is our mission field every day. When we were in Ecuador, and I mentioned at the beginning of our podcast how our faith was really rocked, I had to ask myself a very, very concrete question. I was so willing, able, and excited to express my Christianity in a very overt manner with the mission team, along with other Christians. Was I exhibiting that same kind of faith at home? And the answer that I came up with was embarrassingly no. But because the mission trip gave us opportunity to react with the Lord personally, to react with our team, which was a real source of encouragement to the task that we were asked to do, which was both personal outreach and relational outreach, as well as working with our hands and building and helping and painting and cleaning and doing helping projects that were a real benefit to the people we served. When I came home, I started looking for those opportunities and saw my own city and my own neighborhood and my own neighbors in a whole different light. Not that we had gone someplace and all of a sudden the world became a place of flames of faith. No, it was a very, very wonderful experience to trust God for things we never had to trust Him before or with in another culture. Simple things like food, simple things like transportation, language. We had to trust the Lord for that in an overseas mission location. Here in the United States on a mission program, 450 miles from our home, back in Michigan, we trust the Lord that what we do through our work and witness for Christ will have an impact on the people we serve. We use the work as a gateway for a relationship. And as we learn each other's story while we're working on a project, say we're washing down or power washing a mobile home, and then we're painting it, we're also talking with the homeowner and his family, and we're maybe sharing a meal together, and we get to find out what brought them to this area. Do they attend church? Do they feel that their faith is alive and vibrant? We ask ourselves those same kinds of questions. And at the end of the day, when we go home at the end of the week and we see how we have been able to help people with work tasks that are truly work tasks, not just busy work, but the relationships we form and what God does in and through our heart to open our eyes toward mission, which is really open our eyes and hearts and mind toward people, God's creation, we go back home with a whole different vision and energy to serve Christ.
And I think that kind of, let's talk more about relationships. Because that's the next question I want to ask. You've already, in a sense, answered. We're going to ask it anyway just because I can't think of anything better to do, which is how this podcast normally runs. But the number one complaint or objection I get about short-term mission trips is, well, you'd be better off just sending cash. If you need Kevin Thompson to go and paint your house, man, you're more hard up than you know. You don't want me doing that. And I was thinking, last year I took a trip to Costa Rica again with Rock County. And, you know, I'm painting this gym, and I'm just thinking, you know, instead of all the money, the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that had to be raised with airline tickets and travel, with all these teenagers going, these guys could have had this gym professionally painted and done. But instead, you had these teenagers doing a job that probably isn't as great. I'm thinking about, you're talking about washing and painting trailer homes, and that's what I was doing this week. And I thought, I'm not doing that great of a job. You know, I'm trying my best, and my wife is there to pick out all the spots that I'm missing, and that's good. But I'm thinking this isn't a great job until I'm starting to talk with the owner of the home, and come to find out he's been discouraged in the past couple of weeks with job problems. And I was able, I believe, at least I'm praying, I was a blessing to him, and I think I encouraged him a little bit, helped his faith grow a little bit. And I thought, well, that's the reason why I was here. Yeah, they could have hired a professional who would have got that job done quicker, better, and more impressive than anything I and four teenagers were doing, but they wouldn't have had that conversation. So talk more about these relationships and why just sending money isn't the answer.
I'm asked that question often, and I would say that, again, the work opens the doors for relationships, and to put yourself in a situation where you're being asked to go to a strange home, introduce yourself as a person from another state, and we're happy to be here to paint your trailer, is a bit of a daunting issue.
Right.
I would agree with that 100%. But what I would say God does through that process, if you're willing to go to a faraway place, and let's just put faraway in terms of even 20 miles or 30
sure.
miles, and you're willing to paint someone's home you don't know, can I go back home and offer that same kind of service to a relative, to a neighbor, to someone on the other side of town who needs help and encouragement and hope, and trust God, as you have, Kevin, saying, if I'm here painting and I'm engaging in conversation and I'm helping this man out of some depression and some hopelessness, that's a pretty good investment of a week, because God will use the work and the circumstance, and as he always does, multiplies the impact.
Right.
So I guess a shorter response would be, you do some things as a mission service project, and your eyes are open to the possibilities of what really needs to be done at home and even in your church. We have had people who have gone on short-term mission trips who have decided on the basis of what they experienced in another community that they would go back home and volunteer to be a Sunday school teacher with children, because on the mission trip, their opportunity was to help a local family who ran a daycare. And in interacting with a daycare mother and with the children of the daycare, they found out that they really liked working with kids, and their home church needed that same kind of help in the church nursery or with the church daycare. And prior to serving on a mission trip, that service and ministry at home never hit the radar. Helping projects. Our church is very, very involved in sending out mission teams around the world. Not everyone will go around the world, but as a result of the short-term mission trips, we got together as a missions leadership team and said, how can we make missions more effective rather than always going? And we decided that, yes, we'll still send teams, but we'll have two annual work days in our own city. And we'll identify people with real needs. The Christian church accepts the responsibility to paint, to clean, to work, to whatever, and we're being the hands and the feet of Jesus. Do we feel like we're making a big impact, Kevin? No. As you alluded to, painting a wall, is that making a big impact for Christ? Initially, we say no, but through the relationships that are built and the seeds of faith and the seeds of hope that are planted, a full-time missionary would normally be too busy to paint, to clean, to sit on a porch and sip tea. They would be doing other, quotation marks, other important ministry.
Right.
Excuse me. Forgive me. I think the most important is probably working as a witness and the people you're helping noticing that, and you engage in conversation, and eventually it will turn to faith.
And to clear up another misnomer, I don't hear it quite as often as I used to, but we're not in any way promoting a social gospel that's merely looking to better mankind or to improve an impoverished area. But the goal, as you said, is to open the door and through this relationship even get the gospel out.
And I have to say that our mission team here in Eastern Kentucky has been given new life and new hope for what they as a local church can do in their own community. By having a mission team stay at this church, which I'll just mention by name, Bear Pen Church in Camden, Kentucky, Pastor Dave, who is a bivocational pastor, says, "You mean you would come to my community and help me out in my church projects, and you would do that and pay for it as well?" And we would say, "Yes, for the experience of building up the saints in your congregation, seeing what we're doing, we hope that that might light the fire in your congregation that one day you might consider sending a mission trip out from your church," which they've never done before. And by the way, Kevin, that has not been unusual for us to see actually happen in an impact ministry. I'm thinking of Blaine, Kentucky, which is located about an hour and a half from here. We worked in that community for 3 years, and all of a sudden, Harold, a member of the community and another church, comes to me and says, "Do you think you could tell our pastor what missions is all about and maybe encourage him to form a mission team to come to your community?" And I said, "I would love the opportunity." Harold, who had never been influenced by a mission team coming to his community in Kentucky, watched, observed, seeds of faith were planted, and yes, the pastor said, "Tell us how you organize. We want a good experience for our people. We don't know how to do it. Can you give us some help in just giving us the basics of the organization of a good short-term mission trip?" We sat down with him. We shared the components of a good team. And lo and behold, I can say today, several years later, Harold and his church have now established a ministry in Romania. That wouldn't have happened without a short-term mission team going out.
Let's talk more about that. If I'm a pastor listening to this, and I'm catching a burden that, yeah, I'd like to send out some teams, what's the first step? How do we get the ball rolling?
First step is to form a committee to pray. "Lord, we want to send a team, and we want them to be covered by prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have any place in mind, but let's just get together and pray that God will lay a location on the face of the earth," and I would say at home and abroad, so you have a short-term goal and a long-term goal. Begin your mission program with a local test, maybe in a local mission, maybe in a local housing community that is known for needing fix-up, paint-up, clean-up kinds of issues. Maybe going to your local school and saying, "We, from the name of your church, would like to help with any project you would ask us to do at your school. Cleaning, painting, whatever. You have us for the day." And then after you've done something a little bit local, then plan a week-long project. And I would suggest first time. Okay? Listen to me, people. I am a leader of a mission organization, and I would say for the first time, not as an advertisement for us, but as learning the ropes and the basics of the way a mission program can work and should work effectively, go with an organization that has a good track record of successful mission trip programs. And learn and watch what they do so the next year you do it on your own. Less expensively, but the basics and the foundations of a good mission trip is there, which is you want your mission team to have worthy projects. You want them to grow together in unity as a mission team. You want them to grow in their personal relationship with Christ, and you want them, through their work and their witness, to be able to be a shining light for Christ in the community they go to serve, and to come back home and then redouble your outreach ministries of the church in your home community. We did a mission trip for the first time to San Antonio last summer, and the whole philosophy of the church that hosted us was, you come to our church to be built up in the faith, to be taught the Word of God, and to be taught to go out and be ambassadors of Christ, as the scriptures say. They said, one of our major goals is to take the gospel outside the walls of the church. So what projects did their mission pastor set up with our team that went? They had us do a kids club in a mobile home park from 6 to 7:30 each evening. And we were asking the question, who would ever come to a kids program done by our group, who are just a group of crazy ragtag volunteers? 300 kids later, their friends coming, they came and children gave their life to Christ. Because we were one mission team out of many who came to that church and did the exact same thing, they had planted 20 house churches in the mobile home park in different mobile homes as a result of taking the church outside the walls, getting involved with people from all different kinds of walks of life, all different cultures, all different socioeconomic backgrounds. And what do you have? You have an instant children's ministry, and you're developing house churches block by block. That's the impact of short-term missions, and a full-time missionary would never have the time or opportunity to accomplish as much, as quick, as effectively as a short-term team has consistently over the years.
I think we've had a good experience here, a good time. I'm looking forward to, again, building the relationships we've already built. We're friends on Facebook with the folks that we've been painting for. I'm hoping that doesn't kind of haunt me later of, hey, guess what, the paint's gone already with the first rain or whatever. But I'm looking forward to a relationship, even more discipleship and ministry with this particular family. But not every missions trip goes that way. I was talking with a former missionary just recently who told me there'd been times where his church, it's been a disaster. So the question is, how do you avoid the disaster? What are the pitfalls that need to be shunned, and how do we avoid that?
Yeah. Proper planning. And more time needs to go into the planning and team preparation as it does the actual mission project. Mission teams need to learn who each other are going on the trip, right, even if they've been good friends. There needs to be that coming together as a team. They need to have a common goal and a common purpose. They have to have already understood how they're going to deal with conflict, because when you go on a mission trip, you will have conflict. You will have issues because the enemy of Christ wants to steal, kill, and destroy all good things, which is a mission project. So you will have tension in you, and you will have issues. Proper planning prohibits or doesn't solve all the problems, but proper planning protects you from some very, very bad experiences. As well, I mentioned just a moment ago, go with a mission organization the first time, because if a local church attempts something on their own when they go someplace else, go a distance, if it doesn't work out right, the local people from the local church, the ones who planned it, feel absolutely terrible. They've let down their friends. They've let down their church. They've let down the Lord.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be that way. So proper planning, prayer, a study of the community that you're going to serve. We also like to suggest a written team agreement that everyone has a chance to sign and agree to. We will approach our work with the humility but the excitement of Christ. We will treat one another with respect. We will approach problems recognizing that in Christ we can solve these problems during the mission trip. Going through all those scenarios prior to the mission project, when you get on the field and you experience some of these issues that come up, you've already determined how you're going to deal with them in a Christ-like manner. And proper planning prohibits a lot of issues that can come up in a mission team. Plus, understanding how God works. Doing Bible studies together. I carry a little card with me.
You carry many, several cards with you.
Cards, and I don't have to worry about a battery going out on me. In this case, I have other things that the battery goes out. I carry it with me because it reminds me of what Impact Missions is all about and what I feel any missions and any outreach is all about. Small things done with God's love will change the world in one life at a time. That is mission. And we say every day is a mission. Sometimes you just have an extended period of time where you can be away for 5 or 6 days and you immerse yourself in the mission experience. But I pray that groups come home and look for opportunities, maybe a day project, maybe a 2-hour project. You have a greater sensitivity looking at people's needs in a whole different way once you come home from a mission trip, and you're much more willing to go out of your comfort zone at home and ask, can I give you a hand with this? A small thing done with God's love, God will change a life in the world.
Well, we're running out of time. I do want to ask another question. Let's look at this from the other side. If I'm a pastor, maybe I'm pastoring in a small church, and whether it's Campton, Kentucky, or Beloit, Wisconsin, or Brockton, Massachusetts. I'm a small pastor. I'm looking at getting a mission team. They're coming in from a different church. How should we as a church, a small church, prepare for this team, and what is our responsibility?
Your responsibility is to host the team coming with the greatest hospitality that you can ever imagine. And yes, Kevin, you're absolutely right. The host church has a responsibility. In our situation here, we ask the local church to prepare evening meals for us. We reimburse them for those expenses, so no church member is put in an awkward financial situation. But the host church begins praying for the team coming, looks for worthy projects for the team to do while they're in the community, and has decided as a congregation that God has placed them strategically in a location to be a light and witness for Christ, be a light for Christ. So really, the host church has the same responsibilities in preparation that the mission team does. Prayer, faith, read some missionary biographies and autobiographies, and determine ahead of time that when this mission team comes, they're going to be welcomed in a very, very warm and affirming way. They're going to be supported with knowing where to buy supplies during the week, maybe even picking up the church picking up the supplies so materials will be delivered so the team coming in can start work right away, and that during the week, the local church host will make sure that there are members of their congregation interacting with the mission team in a myriad of different ways. the church is welcoming the mission team to participate and to attend the local church service and the midweek service. They're wanting to share meals together, fellowship meals. They're willing to spend some time in local congregations members' home so they can learn about the community, learn about what it's like to live in a city, a rural, eastern, beautiful, beautiful historic area of eastern Kentucky. What is it like to live here? And by doing so, their preparation makes the mission team more effective. They're helping one another. They're working as a symphony, not against one another, not in competition with one another. And they're, again, doing what 1 Corinthians 13 says, expecting the best, believing the best, and praying always that God would take our efforts and multiply them for His honor and glory. Not the host church honor and glory. It might get written up in the newspaper, or the mission team might get written, but you do it for God's glory.
Right.
And keep the humble spirit. Little things done with God's love can change a church, a neighborhood, and a family. And I know time is short, so I'll just say this, Kevin. We've seen through short-term missions, young people particularly who have been issues, who have been difficult for their parents. They go on a short-term mission trip, realize how good they really have had it at home and how their parents showed to tried to demonstrate their love. They come home with a whole different attitude toward the world, a whole different attitude toward their own personal faith. They've taken that next step in their faith journey, saying, I guess I've treated my parents in a disrespectful way. I want to make some changes. We have seen that time after time after time. That's another benefit of short-term missions, how we grow in Christ, our families grow in Christ, we come together. And I would say, my final shot, your first mission trip ought to be a family trip. Missions is just not for students and young people. The senior people who are part of your church family who go on a trip, or the vocational people who go, can train the younger ones how to do things they never do at home. Mm. How to build a porch, how to paint properly, how to do plumbing, how to do electrical. And that's part of the beauty.
Right.
The church is working together, and people are learning and discovering their skills, their gifts. I can say from our church, we are probably closest friends with people who we went on that first mission trip with us 17, 18 years ago.
Yeah, and that sounds exactly as you mentioned 1 Corinthians 13, but back up a chapter, chapter 12, it's the body working together.
Yes.
I fear sometimes in our churches where we have all these segregated Sunday school classes and teen worship, not that those are bad, but is there a time where all of those groups can get together and serve collectively as the body of Christ? To me, that's an amazing concept. We could just do a whole other podcast just on that. But can you tell us, we are out of time, and I want to thank you for your willingness just to come. This is late at night here, the night before we're to leave. But tell us more, where can we find out more information about Impact Missions and how to get in contact with them?
Let me go one step further, because I don't want to just promote Impact.
Sure.
We are a mission organization that would stress our work opens the doors for relationships. There are hundreds of other mission organizations that do missions differently. A lot of people really don't care too much about the relationship side. They want to go do work, okay? I guess I like people a little bit better.
Yeah.
So we want to do a relationship. www.shortterm-missions.com. They advertise for hundreds of different mission organizations with hundreds of different opportunities. Impact has our listings of projects on that website, but we're one of hundreds. So www.shortterm-missions.com. And you will be blessed. I hope it's calm, Kevin. I'm having a little stress now. If it doesn't come up calm, go org. Okay.
Well, before we get, we'll get that on the website and we'll check it out first. So if you're wondering, check out our website. It'll be on the front page, and click on the link, and that'll take you to a bunch of options. Well, Dave, again, thank you for coming on the program. We want to thank you all for listening. Join us back next week. Until then, don't forget to check out our website, www.
And don't forget, every day is a mission.
Every day is a mission. www.understandingourtimes.com. Check out our blog. We're trying to make sure that's updated at least once a week. Until next week, have a great rest of your week, and God bless.